The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Shaking up our top of the hour, just a little bit intro music. Well, welcome back, everyone. 602-508-0960 is the number. Good to see you, young David. Good to see you, Miss Teresa. Mr. Bill has the day off. Joe Scarborough of MSNBC issued a screed against the MAGA crowd and aficionados last night out of exhaustion from hearing at Republican rallies how bad America is right now, and that the whole Make America Great Again theme is centered on America's decline and suck. His screed starts by rattling off certain military numbers and then opines we are light years ahead of our closest competitors. Quote, we are so much more powerful, so much stronger than we've ever been. But Donald Trump keeps talking about how America sucks. When you live in the most powerful country in the history of the earth, what history do you know? You don't read. You didn't have the kind of teachers I had. What kind of teachers do you have? He asked. About the MAGA crowd, he said, quote, they're always running America down. They're saying America is horrible. Its democracy doesn't work. We need a dictatorship. I'm tired of people running America down. They got four migrants and a hound dog on top of a hill in New Mexico, and they had that on for hours over at Fox. Joe Scarborough then mocked the reporter on Fox News who was covering that story. Quote, they give their viewers anything to try to make America look bad. They are obsessed with trashing America. So they find one trans athlete in Utah. And then he mocks Christians for making a point over that. Quote, we are stronger relative to the rest of the world, but they, the MAGA crowd, are full of hate America first rhetoric. Okay, full stop. What movement in this country has, since about 1956, starting with the Beat Movement and then the college campus left and SDS and the Yippies and the Weathermen and the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam, what movement in this country has been at the vanguard of the Hate America and Blame America First parade? Who and what party and what movement has for years been denying American exceptionalism and saying it is a form of cultural superiority and discrimination? Who and what party and what movement has for years been saying America is systemically racist and also homophobic and sexist? Who and what party and what movement has for years been saying America is the criminal on the world scene? And that all cops are racist. What party and what movement boasts and hosts the AOCs and Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omars and Rashida Tlaibs of the world that say we live in an autocracy? What party has and hosts the likes of Bill Ayers, who said his only regret in life is not setting more bombs? That quote, by the way, came out of a 9/11/2001 quote in the New York Times, by the way. And might I ask, while I'm at it, who was Jeremiah Wright and who was he advising? What party and what movement hosts and boasts the 1619 history curriculum? What party hosts a president who said he didn't believe in American exceptionalism? Who wanted to, quote-unquote, fundamentally transform America? What party and what movement hosts members of the Democratic Socialists of America? And how many socialists across the country caucus with the Democratic Party? How many socialists are in the federal legislature? Make fun of the one trans athlete in Utah and the immigration problem is just being four dudes if you want, Joe. And yes, go ahead and caricature Christians. That never could or would have been done on a major network once before, and maybe in and of itself is a highlight of decline. As for making light of the one trans athlete in Utah, you do know it's a bigger issue than that. Right, Joe? You do know what the NCAA does. Right, Joe? Or on the immigration issue, you do know that it's a bigger story than four men, right? Try over 7 million illegal immigrants in the last 3 years. We do have huge problems, and recognizing and pointing them out is the first step of any recovery. But it isn't about running ourselves down. It's about the recovery. Here, now, for the first time in forever, education and life expectancy are on the decline. Drug use and death is at a record high. The state of patriotism here, never lower. The number of students who say they believe in our system, capitalism, never lower. Those supporting socialism, never higher. The teen mental health indicia, in the sewer with record suicides and other mental disorders. One last question to Mr. Scarborough. Do you denounce the Death to America marches in Chicago and New York from yesterday? And what side and what movement did those chants come from? The right? And have you ever heard Death to America chanted on our streets ever before? Have you ever attended a F the Fourth celebration, fully spelled out, hosted by Democratic parties throughout the country and here in Arizona on the 4th of July? Does our side do that? Talk about us and about our economy, sure. It's a very mixed bag. But beyond it, I like the way Gary Bauer once put it. You can measure a great nation in a lot of different ways. You can measure it by the strength of its military, the growth of its economy, the gleam of its cities. We are a great nation by those measurements and many, many others. But you can also measure a nation by how many of its families are broken, by how big its virtue deficit is, by how many of its children cry themselves to sleep at night. The fact of the matter is that tonight in northern Kentucky and all over America, too many of our children are crying themselves to sleep. Too many children without a father's arms to comfort them. Too many children exploited by sex or drugs or pornography. Too many children that have bought into the popular culture song that if it feels good, do it. By those measurements, this country is in danger of becoming something much less than a great, great nation. Now, Gary Bauer said that when our economy was roaring, when we did have gleaming cities. And nobody really at that point thought too terribly much of China or Russia or the Soviet Union. But now, with China in place of the defunct Soviet Union challenging us and all our social and domestic problems, when we Republicans point such things out as the problems above, we do so the same way James Madison said we should be and can be critics of our country. So long as we are loving critics, is how he put it. When the other side, when the liberal left side criticize America, which seems to be almost all the time, the motive is very much different. We point out our problems, tactical, perhaps ideally temporary, because we love America. They point out our problems as systemic and endemic and philosophical, because they hate America. And that's all the difference in the world. We would not want to make America great again if we disdained America, if we hated America first. It's not about running down America. It's about recognizing we have, as is, and as I said, the first step in any recovery, some real problems here. Some real problems that we can no longer paper over, and some real problems that we can no longer ignore. We also have people with real problems that have felt ignored. Willie Loman, right? In Death of a Salesman, you know that play, Young David, don't you? Arthur Miller has wife saying, attention must be paid. Attention must be paid to the forgotten men and women in this country who aren't represented by Joe Biden's and Kamala Harris's and this administration's fetishes over changing nature. It's like that song, One's on the Way. They have kids a-crying. They have doors a-creaking. They have bills that need paying. And it does the country no good when you have people with larger microphones than this and larger audiences than this, like Joe Scarborough or Bill Maher, saying things are actually just fine. Things are just fine. Well, the people who don't live inside the beltway of Washington, D.C., and don't live in Beverly Hills, like the Scarboroughs and the Bill Maher's, they aren't doing just fine. They aren't. It's not only elitist, but it's also projectionist, as if we are to blame the victim for complaining about how they've been victimized. No, it's not we who hate America first. It's the left. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960, 602-5080-960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Rick is in Phoenix. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Seth. Wow, that was a walk down memory lane with
How
that
are you?
Bumper music.
Yeah, a little fire. Who sings that? Firefly?
I have no
Rainbow.
Idea. I just remember the song from my younger days.
Firefall. Firefall.
Oh, okay. That was great.
What? Young David's giving me some alternative information. What is it, Young David? I think it's Firefall.
It says Rainbow.
Well, it's not Rainbow.
I'm going to have to investigate.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Rick. Sorry
okay.
about that.
Okay. Well, Seth, first of all, seriously, thank you very much for your outstanding monologue. Your monologues are always terrific. Some days they are just beyond terrific.
Thanks.
And today's, for me, was really very good.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I'm turning to you for an answer as an eminent cultural authority. I would like to pose a question to you to either affirm or correct.
Okay, I
an
like that kind of thing.
That I heard not long ago, or recently, within the last couple of weeks. I don't remember who it was that said this or whatever, but I figured that you might know the answer.
All right.
This guy was saying that John Scarborough and Mika were actually the original inspiration for Beavis and Butthead.
I don't know who said that.
I don't know who said it, but is it true?
Oh, God, that cartoon's been around a lot longer than they have. That cartoon's been around since, I think, the early 90s, hasn't it?
I have no idea.
Pretty sure, yeah. Pretty sure. I think
just,
it has.
I
maybe
just thought that was a pretty interesting juxtaposition.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never seen it, so maybe the reference is falling flat for me. But
well,
yeah,
I've never actually seen it either.
Oh.
I only remember seeing the ads,
okay.
You know, and of course it was goofball and goofier, you know, that Dumb and Dumber or whatever it was.
But. I see.
Anyway, that's what your monologue.
Well, they get quite an elite following in Washington D.C. and inside the New York Manhattan Beltway transfer, and they get a lot of that same kind of guest. So you know, to the degree that you know,
which
to be dismissed,
to
sure, yeah, they're dismissible in certain respects, but once in a while, you know, there's a tendency for some of these shows to be the testing ground, if you will, for Democratic Party talking points.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point.
And I would suspect that you very soon will see Kamala Harris and Joe Biden taking up the kinds of claims that Joe Scarborough was ranting about yesterday. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
To the degree I might be right about that, I just think we need to remember who the Hate America and Blame America First movement is. It's not conservatives.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's what was so good about your monologue, Seth. So I really appreciate that. I was just kind of, when I heard, and I can't remember who it was, say that, it kind of sparked for me, you know, how really awful they are, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of awful, but there is a lot of awful, but there isn't as much awful that gets paid attention to by the leadership of our opposition.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They do.
Yeah, that's true.
They, you know, much like as if, I mean, I don't know what. If there's an, I don't know if there's actually another good example. Maybe conservatives have some examples of that, but But yeah, no, they're just they're paid attention to by the Democrats and the New York Times editorial board. They pay attention to all that stuff.
Yeah, which is amazing in itself. Yeah. Well, Seth,
it's amazing that Scarborough used to be, you know, Scarborough was part of the Gingrich Revolution. He was such a conservative firebrand in his day. He was part of the class with John Shattuck. We should ask John Shattuck what he thinks happened to Joe Scarborough. I don't know exactly what happened. I know he became disillusioned with some of the leadership in the Gingrich Revolution. But I don't know. I don't know the full story. You can be disillusioned with your leadership and not defenestrate your entire worldview, which is something he seems to have done. And you know, people do change. They don't typically go right to left, but under Donald Trump, you've seen a fair amount of it. You've seen it with the Lincoln Group. You've seen it with Bill Kristol. You've seen it with some writers at the Washington Post. And I have to say, you've seen it with some writers from National Review. Okay, good. Do I have time to take this call real quick, Jack? David? Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate your kind words and compliments. Do I have time to take Jack real quick? Let's do it. Jack, hi. Thanks for your patience, sir. You're called back yesterday. Yes, sir. What's up?
Right.
Go ahead and turn off the radio in the background and let me know what's going on.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead and turn off the radio and let me know what's going on.
I did.
Okay, good. What's up, buddy? How can I help you? What's going on?
Oh, my God. I'm a big Chicago guy. I live in Arizona. I've been here since 07.
Yes, sir.
And I live right by Wrigley Field all my life.
Yes, sir.
And I'm 84 years old.
Yes, sir.
84 going on 48.
Understood.
You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. My mind is sharp as a tack.
Okay.
The reason I'm calling, I'm a big Trump guy. Yeah. I'm so disgusted about what's going on in this country, about Death to America and all that. They're blocking the streets in Chicago, airport.
Sure.
What can we? Is there a way we can throw them in jail?
Yes, Florida did it. Florida cleared it. There's some interesting juxtapositions. Thank you for your call, sir. There's some interesting juxtapositions on social media, on Twitter, X, Twix. You can see they are all breaking the law, and it's a question of whether. The police are told to remove them or not. And in Florida, they were told to remove them, and remove them they did. So you didn't have the massive blockages and interruptions of traffic or transportation in Florida yesterday that you had in some of our major cities like San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. Leadership. Leadership matters. Leadership at not just the gubernatorial level, but at the municipal level, and certainly at the police precinct level. It all matters. And you can either tolerate dysfunction and tolerate deviancy, or you can police your streets. And in Florida, it's just a different view because they believe police are there to police. In Chicago and in New York and in San Francisco, it's a little bit different, shall we say. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Dombrowski brings us our culture and economy update. He is the president and founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, grandcanyonplanning.com. His website, great place to learn more about Grand Canyon Planning, what they may be able to do for you, great place to go to reach out to him. John, how are you today, sir?
Doing fantastic. How you doing, Seth?
Good. You sound great, too,
by the way. Well, thank you very much.
It's like the best technological link-up we've ever had. I almost never want to hang up.
It's got to be David.
Interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal I wanted to run by you. Market reaction to Iran attack tells us stocks aren't in a bubble. Interesting first sentence in this piece. Investors are terrible at assessing geopolitical risks, let alone prospects of war. Not all investors. You're pretty good at this stuff. That's why we have you. Anyway, getting at? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, what many people are concerned about, and Wall Street in general was concerned about last week, is this talk and this chatter about the possibility that Iran was going to strike Israel over the weekend. And so, you know, a lot of concern over that, of course, because we didn't know what level of an attack it would be and what the ultimate result would be. I would say, fortunately, based on what happened, it wasn't as bad as it as the results could have been if Israel's defense systems didn't hold up as well as they did. But obviously that would be a concern, right? Because there's a lot of fallout that can occur when you have a country such as Iran actually targeting now Israel, not just through their proxies. So how much further can this go? And that would be the concern for investors out there, right? What's going to happen to my investments? Are we going to go into some type of a major pullback or a correction of the market? And we think about a correction of the market could occur if prices were hyperinflated. And what basically this article is saying is that it doesn't seem like we're in a bubble because the markets reacted normally to what had occurred. There was no panic that occurred, and there wasn't a continuation of selling. There was a little bit of selling. We saw a little bit of consolidation. We saw some buying come back into the market. We did see interest rates go higher. That was another reason why stocks pulled back. But then we saw, again, the markets trying to rally. We did see people coming back in and buying. Now, today, the markets were up and down a few times and closed a little bit mixed. The Dow was up today. But we had comments from Fed Chair Powell today, which, again, stating that inflation is a little stickier than what they would have liked. Most likely going to have interest rates higher for longer. And again, that's why the market pulled back a little bit on that news. If we were in a true bubble where stocks were really overvalued, most likely this would have been a much more severe pullback in the market, but it hasn't been at this point. And that's what this article is generally saying.
So, you know what, John? Interesting question. I think it's interesting. We used to say that money is a coward. You know, when there's a crisis, it flees. Is it becoming less cowardly?
You know, it's possible. And one of the reasons could be the amount of money that's invested in the market is really a lot of it is being driven by these large hedge fund companies, right? And these big firms, Wall Street firms. But really, a lot of it is 401ks. So the average person out there, and a lot of wealth has been created over the last, 15 to 20 years. Since 9/11, that market has really rallied, as we can see. It's up, I don't have the exact percent. I should have that with me, but I don't. But it's up tremendously. The Dow is at, I think it hit a low of 6,500 during 9/11.
Right.
And now, we're looking at figures in the 38,000 range. So, you can see how much it's grown since 9/11. And a lot of wealth has been created because of that. And that forced savings that the 401k gives the average investor out there, really not much thinking goes into that other than, hey, each pay period, I'm going to take some of my money and put it into this investment and hold it for many, many years and allow the markets to do what they do, which over many periods of years, it grows. So it really has maybe taken a little bit of the emotional side of it out of it for those types of investors, these 401k investors. The ones who are a little bit more emotional about are those day traders out there, right?
Oh, sure.
Who have heard, hey, this stock went from 50 to 500. I got to get in on this. And they're buying into something that they truly, trying to catch a coattail of something to get some growth without really doing proper investigative analysis on something before you put your money into it. That's what these fund managers do, right, Seth? If I buy a mutual fund that's maybe a healthcare mutual fund, there's a fund manager, and that's what they do. They only invest in this healthcare sector, and that's what they work on 24/7 to make sure they're having proper investments and diversifying that portfolio to get the best outcome. So, again, investing for the long term in the market, even though we know there's going to be periods of volatility. There's going to be reasons when the market will go into correction territory. There'll be reasons when innovation, such as we're going through right now with AI, creates a tremendous amount of opportunity for investors. But the long haul, investing for the long haul, is really what ultimately is going to help someone be successful in retirement.
Thank you muchly, John, always.
You bet. Again, check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You can request an appointment with me right there. Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated. Thank you, Seth.
Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show, 602-508-0960, 602-5080-960. going back to what I was talking about in my monologue and Joe Scarborough's fulminations about the MAGA movement being so anti-American and how he's tired of hearing their anti-Americanism, I find it precious that a man now firmly on the left thinks that it is the right that is anti-American, anti-patriotic, running down this country. And I want to get into another element of this in a moment, but it's not, let me try it this way. It's another interesting angle of the left's to silence conservative criticism by doing that. It's a questioning of patriotism, yes. The kind of thing Democrats used to say they hated when we on the right or we conservatives did to them. But I don't think when they think patriotism is itself a down market commodity, we should be accused of questioning their patriotism. They're questioning it. It's odd that they're questioning ours. It's odd that they're questioning ours when we talk about wanting to make this country great again, because for too many, it's not great. And the concern I suppose I have is every day when I look across the studio and I see someone young David's age, someone in their 20s or mid-20s, and the kind of America they grow up in, you get to know what their default is, what their normal is, what their set point about this country is. If you're in your mid-20s, the set point for this country is that we will lurch at the snap of a fingers our public policy over our major institutions over a fright, over a moral panic like COVID. We'll shut down schools and businesses and all form of religious and First Amendment rights. That's something a mid-20-year-old would think is a new normal. They would think that record high drug use is not record high, but that 16%+ of our population regularly using illegal and dangerous drugs and 112,000 Americans a year dying from those drugs is a set point, is a baseline. They would think the number of chronic homeless, which we have now, which is at a record level, is a set point. They will think cities, major cities, were not once great, unless they were to watch some kind of old Alfred Hitchcock movie or some old movie from the 50s. They might think that that's a futuristic movie about what these cities might look like in the future. They would look at a 50s movie taking place in a large city the way we might look at a Jetsons cartoon. This must be the wave of the future, because those are not the way our main and major cities are today. They would think that we were always at each other's throats racially. We weren't. We were for a very, very long time, too long a time, the dominant part of our history, perhaps. But we weren't for the generation prior to about, 8 years ago or so, give or take. So I worry. I mean, then we can talk about all kinds of infrastructure. We can talk about customer service. We can talk about work ethic. That's an interesting one to think about, work ethic. And the work ethic that has been destroyed and taken for granted and watered down and ignored here as a new set point, as an entitlement point for so many of the millennial generation. We can think about all kinds of other things to obesity, the condition of our physical health, let us say, beyond the drug abuse and mental health issues, the obesity. They would think that this has always been a fat country. It hasn't been always a fat and out of shape country. Again, you go and look at 50s and 60s movies, and it's hard to find them. Yes, you had a Sidney Greenstreet type every here and there, but for every Sidney Greenstreet, there were 10 or 20 Cary Grants, or 10 or 20 Jimmy Stewarts, or as the case may be here, 10 or 20 Humphrey Bogarts. You take the point. the attitude about police, the attitude about heroes in this country. They would think that we don't have them and never had them, and we don't esteem them and never esteemed them, and that we don't esteem America and never esteemed America. They would think that it's okay and normal to see celebrations of Karl Marx on our college campuses and in our cartoons and in our major newspapers. They would think it is normal and a set point for massive rallies to carry Hezbollah flags and shout death to America, both in English and in foreign languages, in some of our major cities like Chicago. And without the denunciations from the left or the Democratic Party or the president or Joe Scarborough types, they would think this is all just very normal. I am here to tell you it is not. It is not all very normal. It is a slow and creeping decrepitude. It is a slow and steady march toward the bottom. It is a slow and steady getting used to a form of decadence that with each new sinking level, we get more and more used to it. Someone is going to call in and give me the frog that boils analogy or story. And yes, it is not unlike that. But the point I'm being the point I'm trying to make is that the water wasn't always hot. The water wasn't always hot. And we turned the temperature gauge over to the left, and we have allowed them to increase the water on us, the water's temperature on us, year by year, decade by decade, institution by institution. I'm trying to think what institution might be fairly characterized as the first one that went totally left. But probably the universities, probably second would be our elementary and secondary education systems. Probably the third would be Hollywood. It's interesting. Hollywood was not left wing all that much long ago. David has a picture of a fundraiser that was very representative of Hollywood circa 1970, of Ronald Reagan and John Wayne. Who else is in there? Frank Sinatra.
Dino and Bob Hope.
Bob Hope and Dean Martin. Why were they all in a picture together? This was Hollywood. Those were the kings of Hollywood. They were there for a fundraiser for Ronald Reagan, Republican governor of California. If you look at the old Dean Martin roasts of Hollywood actors and comedians, they usually had Republican people who were being they usually had Republican elected officials on the dais or were being roasted themselves. My point is only to say that Hollywood went left only in our recent memories after the universities and probably after elementary and secondary education. And then I would say journalism after that. I would say journalism followed. And then after journalism, everything else, everything else. They march the institutions. They don't go slowly. They go steadily. Portions of this show are brought to you by our good friends at Y-Refi. Y-Refi is located here, headquartered here locally, and they encourage you to visit with them. They're right on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. I've been there a number of times. If you do go visit with them, you won't get a sales pitch and you won't be asked to sign anything. YRefi offers up a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you're invested with control and flexibility. You can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like. There are absolutely no fees with YRefi. You can have peace of mind. There is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement. No surprises. Best of all, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return with YRefi. And by the way, the investment is not correlated to the stock market or the Fed. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YRefi24. 888-YRefi24. In the things that the institutions I was talking about that were marched through by the left, there were two others that I think are worth pointing out as well. And it's hard to talk about in some precincts. But one of them would be religion, traditional religion. And one of them would be notion of family, family formation. Both also have taken big hits such that someone in their 20s now would recognize a very different kind of social fabric in America than existed only 15 years ago, only 20 years ago. The number of people who have left the church in the last 30 years is record-breaking. The marriage rate, the decline in the marriage rate is record-breaking. The number of Americans, the percentage of Americans that are no longer or have never been married is record-breaking. These things, too, have an effect on a society. When you think about a civil society requiring, I think it was Robert Nisbet's phrase, forces of composition. And when you think about what the left has done to all of these institutions, from education to entertainment to journalism to theology to the sanctity, excuse me, of the family, and yes, certainly the sanctity of life as well, they have been a force of massive decomposition. When they talk about fundamental transformation, they don't need to talk about it. They did the hard part. They did the doing of it. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960, 602-5080-960. Happy to have you weigh in. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.